Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this passage in Romans, the assigned reading for today, deals with certain deep theological issues and presents a challenge to the interpreter. As we know, this passage has often been misinterpreted and has been used in a wrong way as a proof text for the Calvinistic doctrine concerning predestination. Properly interpreted, it is a text full of comfort for the believer. There are various truths Paul brings out in these verses, but one main thought is that there is no unrighteousness with the merciful God. Specifically, Paul shows that there is no unrighteousness in God hardening certain sinners. With regard to God being merciful, Paul emphasizes that God's mercy is tremendous, magnificent. There is no unrighteousness in God hardening certain sinners. This is what Paul teaches in our text. The teaching of the Calvinists does not match the message of Romans chapter 9. Their doctrine, which they believe is based on our text, actually presents God as unrighteous. God told Moses, "I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy." And the Calvinists say, with regard to salvation, God wants only a select few to be saved, and his mercy and his grace are limited to those people. With regard to the mention of Pharaoh in our text, and Paul's stating that God has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens, the Calvinists claim, see, God hardens some because of his decision in eternity that they would be damned. Pharaoh is an example of such a person God has elected, chosen for hell. The rest of the text, too, the Calvinists regard as furnishing both proof for their doctrine of double predestination and the answer to the question, why are some saved and not others? They interpret the remaining verses as saying that God has fashioned some pots, namely people, for dishonor, that is, damnation, and that he has fashioned other pots for honor, that is, everlasting life. The text, they point out, states that the vessels of wrath have been prepared for destruction. The Calvinists assume that God does this preparing as a result of a decision he made in eternity that some would be damned. God electing some for salvation and some for damnation? How is this fair? God showing mercy to some, mercilessness to others? How can God still be viewed as righteous? The Calvinists hold up the sovereignty of God and state that God can do whatever he pleases. But this position based on the sovereignty of God does not prove God's righteousness. In fact, it proves the opposite. The Calvinistic doctrine, therefore, completely reverses Paul's intent in our text to show that there is no unrighteousness with God. Earlier in Romans, Paul had written that Jesus Christ lived and died for all people, that our Savior, with his holy life and his innocent suffering and death, acquired a saving righteousness for all people, which is available to all and is received through faith. Paul, in essence, has been teaching what he states explicitly in 1 Timothy, that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Also in Romans 8, Paul has written about predestination, but there we see that predestination is only for salvation, for glory. Thus we push aside any notions that our text teaches limited mercy, limited grace, and double predestination. Rather, our text implies universal grace and mercy based on what Paul has written earlier in Romans based on the rest of Scripture. Concerning Pharaoh and other sinners whom God hardens, this is the sinner's own fault. God tried to bring Pharaoh to knowing the truth through the various plagues he performed in Egypt. But Pharaoh repeatedly hardened his heart against the word of God spoken to him by Moses and Aaron, and against the truth being revealed to him. As a consequence, God began to harden Pharaoh's heart, and when the monarch continued to harden his heart against the Lord, God confirmed him in this state of being hardened for damnation. God's primary antecedent will was that Pharaoh be enlightened spiritually and be saved. However, when a person persistently hardens himself against the word of God, then God's secondary consequence will follows, and that person is hardened by the Lord. Is there then any unrighteousness with God? As Paul says, certainly not. No blame can be directed to God. That's the point, that's the tertium, the point of comparison of Paul's imagery of the potter and the clay. From the same lump of clay, a potter makes a vase which will hold beautiful bouquets of flowers, and also a spittoon which will hold, well, you know what? Is the potter bad? Is the potter unrighteous? Of course not. Likewise, there is no unrighteousness with God. That's the point of the comparison when God hardens an unbeliever. Further, notice Paul's wording toward the end of our text. He mentions the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, but there is no mention of who does the preparing. Paul then mentions the vessels of mercy which he, God, has prepared beforehand for glory. Here Paul mentions who does the preparing, namely God. By implication, another agent was at work preparing the vessels of destruction, that is, the devil. The preparing, both by God and the devil, does not reach back into eternity, but as one Lutheran commentator explains, only into time in the lives of those individuals concerned. Therefore, holding to the truths that Paul actually brings forth in our text, we affirm the doctrines of universal grace, predestination for salvation, and God's primary and secondary will. We are not answering the question, why some and not others? Indeed, we cannot. But at the same time, we are not charging God with unrighteousness, and we are not contradicting some other portion of Scripture. Men, in the ministry, we will encounter those who will charge God with unrighteousness, whether for the reason stated in our text or for some other reason. We must always clearly proclaim the constant righteousness of God, basing our answer on the truths revealed to us in Scripture. On the one hand, we go as far as Scripture allows, and on the other hand, no farther. At times, we may have to say, I don't know why this happened. Yet there is never any unrighteousness with God. In our ministries, we will also encounter those whom God has hardened. We won't be able to identify them. We can't pick them out. They're not wearing an H on their clothes. So we will continue to proclaim God's word to all whom we meet as the opportunity arises, and trust in God to bring about the results he wills. The second part of the theme mentioned earlier is that God is magnificently merciful. Paul emphasizes God's mercy and grace. We've already noted its universality. Paul, in addition, stresses that God's mercy is unearned. Why does God show mercy to an unbeliever so that he is brought to faith? Not because the unbeliever willed this, not because the unbeliever has run after God's mercy. He would not be desiring God's mercy or running after it anyway, because all people, including you and me, by nature, are sinful, unclean, enemies of God, unable to save themselves and on the road to hell. Because of God's undeserved kindness, he showed us mercy. Through his gospel, God brought us to faith, and he preserves us as believers in Jesus Christ. We have the acquired righteousness of our risen, victorious Savior. We have the forgiveness of all of our sins and everlasting life. What a joy to be a vessel prepared for glory. God has made us his own dear children and has showered on us the blessings of being in his kingdom of grace. This gives us determination and courage for each day. We can be completely confident of our having everlasting life and being heirs of heaven because we have salvation, not because of our own efforts, but because of God's free mercy. In our text, Paul teaches that God's mercy can be seen even in his dealing with those who harden themselves against God's word and who then are hardened by God. Our text says that God endures them with much long suffering. God does not immediately destroy these obdurate ones for merciful purposes. Their hardening by the Lord can be gradual, not happening all at once, so they can still be brought to faith. When their hardening is permanent, God can still use these hell-bound persons for the good of his kingdom. God declared to Pharaoh, "Even for this same purpose I raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared in all the earth." Knowledge of God's awesome deeds at the time of the Exodus did spread to many peoples in the ancient Near East and has kept on spreading through the centuries. God's absolute, total control of all of world history comforts us. If God can so use hardened sinners, he can turn any other negatives in human existence into positives for the good of those he has elected, predestined. God's total control of world history is seen in the doctrine of predestination. Our salvation is not because of some cosmic accident. Rather, God in eternity, before the creation of the world, knew us, chose us for salvation. And in the course of our lifetimes here on earth, he brought us to faith and he will preserve us in saving faith through his word and sacrament until the day we die and go to heaven. We rejoice that we can see in our lives the marks of our being sheep of Christ, elected ones, hearing our master's voice and following him. What comfort this doctrine of election brings us. Therefore, we rejoice in the message of our text. We give all thanks and praise to our merciful God, with whom there is no unrighteousness. Amen.